I'm not going to keep you long today. I can't get away from this, you know, walking with God. So we're going to stay there until I haven't forgot the book of Job. We're going to get back to Job this year, prayerfully. But today, let me see if I can put this up.
There it is.
Seven of walking with God. Again, walking in the both the Old Testament and the New Testament, when it's used figuratively, simply means living in accordance with God or walking in his ways, living as he would have us to. So walking with God in 2024 could be also translated living before God or as we walk with God. So as we do that, I thought I would share a few Old Testament scriptures as we get to the New Testament, because there's so many scriptures that speak about walking with God. One we know very well, but this speaks in the negative, which means walking in man's ways. Everyone knows this. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Again, here we see the reason why this person can delight in God is because God revealed himself through his law given to Israel. And so the person who is blessed is the person not who walks in man's ways, and we're surrounded by man's ways. The person who is blessed is the one who delights or walks in the ways of God. Through his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he knows God's ways because of God's law, and he delights in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Everybody wants that part right there. And whatever he does shall prosper. But we have to delight ourselves in the Lord according to the scripture. So God reveals his law to mankind. The person who chooses to walk in God's ways is blessed. Amen. However, Proverbs tells us the way of the transgressor is hard. So we choose his ways. Psalm 15, we read in verses 1 and 2, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly. And this whole psalm is about delighting ourselves in God or choosing God's ways. He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. Over and over again in the Old Testament, Psalm 128:1, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Who walks in his ways. So God reveals himself, we walk in his ways. And the consequence of that is blessedness. Now, that doesn't mean blessed as the way the world means blessed. Amen. It means blessed in the way God would consider us blessed. And above all, blessedness means his presence. If we don't have his presence, you're not blessed. So, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. And, amen. And as we walk in his ways, we experience his presence. Why? Because Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? That was the whole premise of where we started with Enoch. He walked with God and was not, because God took him. How many of you would consider that being blessed? Oh, glory. I consider that. Ooh, he's blessed. It means, above all, it means God's presence. Totally different from when the world, what the world considers blessed. Proverbs 10:9, he who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. Now we see this every day in life, right? Proverbs 14:2, love this scripture. He who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is perverse in his ways despises him. And so everyone who walks in what he knows to be right respects what God has revealed to be right. The opposite is true. And what is it? James chapter 4 tells us, he who knows to do right but does it not, to him it is sin. He who knows to do right but does not do it. In other words, he who walks in his uprightness. And this person knows what it means, what it is to do right. And they walk in it. That's walking in the fear of the Lord. That's fearing the Lord. But he who is perverse in his ways, in other words, the person in his conscience who knows what is right, knows what is right, but chooses to do wrong, that person despises the Lord. And that's why many times we can't judge where someone is, because we don't know their heart. God knows what they know. God knows what they're doing, but we don't. Proverbs 20 and verse 7. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. This is a powerful. I read this years ago and couldn't forget it. I'm not so much a scripture memorizer as I am a person who reads and a scripture take hold of you and you can't forget it. Well, this is wonderful. Yes. I read this. I was like, the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. In other words, walking with God is not only beneficial for us, but for future generations. You're walking with God today does not only affect you, but it affects the child that you have. It affects the grandchild that you have. It affects the people that you influence. Because people are blessed to the man or the woman who walks with God in the integrity of their own heart. So, do you want to bless future generations? Walk with God. Walk with God. Proverbs 28 verse 6, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one perverse in his ways, though he be rich. And we're living in America, so you know this is going to have application. Because America is everybody want to be rich. That's why we have a lottery. That's why, you know, when a poor man could win, you know, and become rich, that's what we care about. But the Bible says, it's interesting how God's priorities are different from the world's priorities. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. It is better to be poor and righteous rather than rich and deceptive. We see this happen every day on TV and everywhere else. You see people getting in trouble because of their perversion, their ways trying to get rich. One man did a cryptocurrency. He's all on the news. It was crazy. It was awful what he did. And, whoever walks, where is it? Better is the poor who walks in his integrity. I thought about the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus was poor. The dogs were licking his sores. And the rich man didn't care. As long as he was rich, he could care less. And I pray for understanding as it relates to this. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity, that we would choose that over trying to get rich by ungodly means. Paul talked about that in 1 Timothy chapter 6. It was so prevalent in his day that he had to address it. If it was prevalent in his day, it is in ours. In fact, there was a church right down in Alexandria off of Van Dorn Street where the pastor had an investment scheme that he had all his people in his church invest in, and it turned out to be a Ponzi scheme. And all the people who in his church who invested in that investment vehicle that they deemed it was investment, they lost all their money. It was in the news years ago. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, Lord Jesus, what are we? How can you do that? How can you do that to God's people? How can you do that to God's flock? Proverbs 28:18, whoever walks blamelessly will be saved, but he who is perverse in his ways will suddenly fall. I read this, I thought about Rudy Giuliani, who lied about two election workers from Georgia. He ruined their lives, and then they took him to court. And he was fined $148 million, now he's bankrupt. It was a sudden fall. Why? Because he's perverse in his ways. But whoever walks blamelessly will be saved. So many benefits to walking with God. Spiritual benefits, that is. All right. We're almost done. First Thessalonians. My wife commented to me and said, hey, honey, you're preaching shorter now that you're on. I'm like, yeah, honey, I don't know what it is. But Zoom seems to lessen the time of the message. But I can bump it up if you like. We're going to turn to the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to get to Paul's applying walking with God, walking in his ways, as we've just seen in the Old Testament. Now in the New Testament, to make applications to us. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, you are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. So Paul is talking about, he says, how we behave. He's talking about him and his team, those who were apostles who were going out preaching the word of God. They saw people saved, and they lived among those believers as it relates to walking with God in a way that pleased God. Because he goes on and says, and as you know how we exhorted. So Paul lived, he lived what he taught. He said, you are witnesses of how we behaved ourselves among you, as also you know how we exhorted. So they also taught them, exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of the Lord. And so Paul is teaching those that he led to Christ, who come to Christ through the ministry, that they would walk as he walked. I believe it's Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul says, imitate me as I imitate God. He says, follow me, follow my lifestyle. In other words, he was walking with God, and he wanted them to walk with God. He was walking worthy of God. He wanted them to walk worthy of God. And he not only taught that, but he walked it. Right? So he says that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. The revelation is that God has called and is calling us into his kingdom and glory. In his kingdom, the standard of righteousness is determined by the king. Right? Yours is the kingdom, the Lord's Prayer says, the power and the glory. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So Paul was encouraging. He was doing everything possible, living a life blamelessly before those, the believers that he had led to Christ. And also teaching them that they would walk worthy of God. The New International Version, Paul says in verse 12, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God. That's what to walk worthy means, to live lives worthy. To live lives worthy of God, who has called you to his kingdom and glory. So Paul walked with God before others and God. Paul wasn't living just for himself. Just like we said in Proverbs 20, verse 7. The righteous man walks in his integrity, that his children are blessed after him. So Paul wasn't just living for himself, but his example provided the way for others. And just as it was in Paul's life, so it is in ours. We don't walk with God for our own benefit only. But our example has impact upon our children, upon our grandchildren, upon our spiritual children that God would use us to influence others. It impacts them as well. So Paul emphasized that people are watching how we live. And then more importantly, he emphasized that God's watching too. Imagine that. Don't we want to please God? Well, we ought to walk worthy of God. Worthy of his call into his kingdom and glory. Paul's teaching was backed up by his lifestyle and how he walked with God. Paul did not say, do as I say, not as I do. You know, we heard that term because it happens a lot. But Paul was saying, no, do as I say and watch me do it. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Believers ought to be able to say about their leaders today. Believers ought to be able to say this about their leaders. You follow my leader's example. How they live is walking worthy of God, and I'm going to imitate that lifestyle. I'm going to imitate how my leaders walk with God. They ought to be able to do that. God observes how those who are called to the ministry live, and he expects his people to be able to copy their example. Let me say that again. God observes how those who are called to the ministry, how they live, and he expects his people to be able to copy their example. That's why Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Every leader in the body of Christ ought to be able to say that. And if we can't, we need to get it right. God help us. We need to get it right because he's going to get it right. Believe you me. And so Paul says, I want to go through what he outlined here. He says, he mentioned three ways or adjectives of how they, or adverbs of how they live. He mentioned devoutly. That word means given to religious devotion. In other words, Paul wasn't living one way when he was in the church. And he was living another way when he was outside. No, he was devout. He was devoted all the time. The life that he lived at any one time was the life that he lived all the time. So he tells them that they gave them a devout example. In other words, this means not being in the club on Saturday night and in the church on Sunday morning. That would be something crazy for a leader, right? To be in the club on Saturday night and in the pulpit or in the church on Sunday morning. I read in my devotional reading in the book of Luke this past week. It stuck with me. I've been meditating on it ever since. Jesus told his disciples, he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And, you know, they thought he was talking about bread. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And that would be in the club on Saturday night and in the church on Sunday morning. Well, but hypocrisy means to put on the face. Put on the face. Saturday night and Sunday morning, those two different faces. And Jesus says, don't live like that. He says, beware of the leaven. The leaven, whatever it gets in, it fills and it permeates and goes all throughout it. He said, do not let hypocrisy fill up your life. Don't let it enter your life so that you are one way at one particular time and you're totally different another time. Been meditating on it. Might have to preach on that. We'll see. Amen. So Paul said, you see how devoutly we behaved ourselves, but not just that, justly. In other words, righteously. They did what was right. They did what was right. No need to go more into that. Also, blamelessly or above reproach. In other words, no one could look at him and cast guilt or say it was his fault because they lived blamelessly. This is how these men of God who preached the gospel to the Thessalonians, how they behaved themselves, how they lived. Oh God, let that be our testimony today, that a person, in particular leaders, could look at a leader's life and say, I find no fault. Found no fault. But that's how they live. That's how they behave themselves among those who believe. But not only that, he says, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged. So they then verbally they taught the believers how they should walk with God. As a father does his own children. That's quite important that he put that in there. He says, we encouraged you. You know how it is when you encourage someone. You encourage someone who doesn't think they can do it. You encourage someone who is looking down and maybe doesn't believe that they can, that they're up to the task. We shouldn't beat up those who aren't walking with God. We should encourage them to walk with God. Because we all at one point or another have been at a time in our life where we weren't walking with God. We shouldn't beat that person up. We should encourage that saint. Now, I'm not talking about unbelievers because unbelievers cannot walk with God. I'm talking about believers. If a believer isn't walking with God, we shouldn't beat them up, but we should encourage them. As Paul says here, we encourage. Not only that, he says, we comforted you. Amen. So that's interesting because when you think about comfort, you comfort someone who has tried and failed and perhaps has overcome. Paul says, we comforted you as a father would his own children. When a father sees his child fall down, he doesn't go up and pick the child, slap the child. Well, some fathers. You don't go pick the child, slap the child, get it done right. You comfort the child. You hold the child. You console the child. Right? Then you encourage them to get up and walk with God. Get up. Try it again. Do it again. Do it again. There's some people that need to be comforted. Again, Paul says, in charge. There's some who need to be charged. There's some believers who are willful. They want to do things their way, and they need to be charged. They need to be urged. They need to be told, no, you walk with God. Walk with God. And so he charged them. He urged them. He admonished them to walk with God as a father does his own children. We would walk worthy of God who calls us. Why is it so important? Because the call of God, the Bible says, to make your election and calling sure. Why was he encouraging them to walk with God? Because the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. And if we, as those called don't walk worthy, does it mean that we're chosen? If we don't live the life that Christ died for us to live, then are we worthy? Where are we really called? Are we chosen of God? And so when Jesus said many are called but few are chosen, that bears some serious, sober inspection. All right, then Paul gets to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more. More in what? Keeping the commandments of God. Walking with God. Just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. How you ought to walk and to please God. How you ought to live your life and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. Some people say, well, it's 10 commandments in the Old Testament. We don't have any commandments in the New Testament. Oh, yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do. So let me read this again. Paul says, finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort. Same words he used in chapter 2. We urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. Leaders in the body of Christ should charge, encourage, and lead exemplary lives. They should charge and encourage the body of Christ and lead exemplary lives that please God, so that believers might know how they ought to live and to please God. Paul did it. He did it before the believers of his day. The leaders of today should do the exact same thing before believers of our time. I'm just going to read real briefly as I close the commandments that Paul was speaking of. Because of the pervasiveness of sexual immorality of that day, this is not all inclusive of what he would be talking about, because it would include stealing, lying, cheating, false scales, all of the above, the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5, would include all of that. But Paul told them that we taught you how you ought to walk and to please God. And then he said, for this is the will of God. This is what is pleasing to God. Your sanctification. Your sanctification. Let me read it in the Amplified. It says this, for this is the will of God, that you should be consecrated, separate, which means separated and set apart for pure and holy living, separated for God, unto God, that you should abstain and shrink from all sexual vice, that each one of you should know how to possess, control, or manage his own body. Back to Galatians chapter 5, one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. Self-control. And so Paul says here to the Thessalonians that you ought to know how to possess your own vessel in sanctification and honor, how to control yourself. And that honors the Lord. Verse 5, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. It's interesting to me. People who do not know God live in the passion of their flesh. We did. We lived in the passion of our flesh. It may not have been sexual immorality. It could be anger. I had a friend who told me, he says, when I get angry, I get what's called white anger. Never heard of white anger. He said, is when I don't see anything, I just go off. Okay. Oh, I said, I don't know anything about that. But his thing, his passion was anger. You know, well, the Bible says now we're to be angry and sin. We can't give out, we can't give ourselves to rage and to wrath. So Paul, though he's mentioning sanctification or sexual immorality here, the passions of lust is wide, is broad, right? But he says that basically he says here that people who do not know God walk or live in the passion of lust. He goes on and says that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. So here he's talking about sexual immorality, adultery, a man having another man's wife or vice versa. He says you're not to give yourself to that, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Now, back in the day, the Gentiles, and including nowadays, good heavens, do every type of thing with every type of person. It doesn't matter to them, because they live in the passion of lust. Paul says, we as believers who God has saved and taken away our old nature and made us partakers of the divine, made us partakers of the divine nature. My God. The more we look at what God has done, all that time you get done looking at that, he said, my Lord Jesus, thank you. I'm going to live this way. I have to live this way. Well, Paul even gives us more. He says that God is the avenger of all such. He's the avenger of all such, as we have also warned you and testified. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. What does that mean? You mean a Christian can reject God? What did Paul just say? How does that work? I don't want to know. But Paul says a Christian can reject God. Yeah, how does it work? Well, if you take another man's wife, you rejected God. If you live in against the commandments, in disobedience to the commandments of God, you're rejecting God. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. So we don't want to live this way. Right? Now, Paul says that we're not to live in the passion of lust as the Gentiles. They have not the power of the new birth, which changes our old nature, changes our old man. Although believers' nature has been changed, however, a choice still has to be made to walk with God. Now, the unbeliever walks in the passion of their own lust because their nature hasn't been changed. They're sinners. But Paul is telling those believers who have received the new nature, who have received the new man, which is created after God in righteousness and true holiness, according to Ephesians chapter 4. He's saying to them, don't live the way they live. Why? You've been changed. Okay, well, if I've been changed, why am I still being tempted? Because you still have to make a choice. See, we've been given a new nature, but we still have to choose. And once we choose, then the new nature takes over. God helps us. God strengthens us. That's why Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you make up your mind, you're going to walk with God. Guess what? The Holy Spirit is on. That's the Holy Spirit is in you for that very reason. The Holy Spirit is in us for that very reason. Because when we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh that we did when we were Gentiles. So, it's not automatic. So, every day, let's choose to walk with God. Every week, let's choose. Every month, let's choose. Every year, 2024, let's choose to walk with God. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Right. Let's pray.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Yes. We thank you for the truth of scripture.
Amen.
That you saved us, brought us out of darkness into your mind. You took out a stony heart, Lord, and put within us open flesh.
Thank you.
Father.
Old man was crucified with Jesus upon the cross.
Hallelujah.
That when Christ rose from my God, we rose with him.
Thank you.
My God. Now we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God is in us. Give to your will to walk with God these days. Oh, Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit, Lord, fills us to walk in your Spirit and not fulfill us.
Thank you.
Lord, as you have equipped us, so then we would live. Lord, for your glory. Lord, for your power, for your might, oh God. Lord, that your name that you and all be glorified. So, Lord, reportion us.
Thank you, Lord.
We choose each day, every moment, multiple times a day. Lord, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit within us. that agree with the word of God, Lord, that we can fulfill, oh God, your will, that you created us in Christ Jesus to walk. Father, we ask your blessing upon the teaching of your word.
Bless us.
Please, oh God, of our homes, all this week, Lord, we ask, until we come together, in Jesus' precious name.
Jesus' name.
Amen and amen.
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 On the stage.
No. Good word.
Right.
Good word.
Well, amen. We look forward to seeing you Tuesday. If not Tuesday, we'll see you next week. Until then.
Amen.
Bless you all.
Amen. God bless.